CliffCentral.com.
Dory sent me a message. She's got a 80s show today, and you can listen to that live on CliffCentral.com at 11 o'clock, and it is repeated at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Today they are playing songs from 1980 that sound like the 70s. Plus they're going to talk to Danny DeVette about the old South African band Petit Cheval. I remember them. They weren't my era, but I remember some of their songs. So you can listen to that. That's the 80s show with Dory and Paolo today at 11, and they repeat at 5. Awesome. Okay.
Who were they?
Petit Cheval. Petit Cheval. It means small horse, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, Petit Cheval. Anyway, all right, so
wait,
lots of things to
Val
get
means
to.
Horse?
Cheval. C-H-E-V-A-L. Cheval. That's where that's where chevalier or cavalier comes from.
Oh.
No. I stand to be corrected, but that's what I think. Sia, you should really learn French. You'd love it. And it's the kind of language that you would throw in people's faces at every given opportunity.
Oui, oui. Just
I can see you doing
plus
that.
Plus petit français.
Oui. I can see you doing that.
My only thing with languages is you always need to practice it, like exercising a muscle. Otherwise, you know, you learn it for a bout of time, and then you forget it.
One of the reasons I really enjoyed going to France, the times that I've traveled there, or to Mauritius where they speak French, is that it gives me a chance to actually get my French up and running again. It's like you pull it out of the cupboard, you dust it off, and then you have to go out there and speak it. And it, once you've been speaking it for 3 or 4 days, it just improves in leaps and bounds. And you start remembering words and, you know, you start refreshing your vocabulary and you start getting your grammar right again. That doesn't happen if you don't practice the language. I've got to...
It will help when my future third stepson is from France.
So. Yes, yeah. And you're one of your husbands, one of them.
Yeah.
Okay, a few things to talk about this morning. One of them is Zuko's message. Now, it's funny, like Zuko was actually a member of the Communist Party government, I think under either Stalin or it could have been Khrushchev. So Zuko, your question is really apt. Zuko says, apparently admitting publicly that you're a communist is the new pickup strategy. And so Zuko's thinking of putting proud communist on all their social media bios. I'll report back on how much action that results in, crossing fingers. It's such a weird thing. Communism seems to have, just like with the complete lack of responsibility that communism seems to be able to get, despite the fact that they killed, you know, they, communist regimes all over the world, killed way more people than the Nazis or the fascists in Italy or the imperial government of Japan. Despite that, communism gets given a free pass, which is fascinating to me. If you went and put proud Nazi on your social media, what would that do to you? You would be cancelled, and rightly so. Being a Nazi is an unacceptable position in 2021, right? You don't even need to debate it. There's no one in the world who would go, well, you know, he's entitled to his political beliefs. Right? Somehow, if you put communist in your title, especially if you're at a university or you think that you're very cool and trendy, communist, despite the fact that communism has killed more people than Nazism did, somehow communism is still something that you can actually say that you are. It's outrageous.
Why do you think that's the case?
It's just a double standard. It's perfect hypocrisy. And it comes from an ignorance of history, which should make you ashamed. Anyone who could call themselves that is either willfully a bad person and wants to be known as an evil person by their friends, which is bizarre. Why would anyone would choose that? Or your ignorance of history is just absolutely monstrous. Because to be able to say, if I thought it was a good idea to put proudly communist, and I mean, I know Zuko's joking, so I'm not having a go at him here. It just strikes me as such a strange world we live in where that That is an okay position. But the exact polar opposite position on the right is totally socially unacceptable. If you think it's okay to call yourself a communist, you are just a wicked person and you don't understand history. You just have never read a book about history in your life. It's unbelievable. So there we go. Beth says being a commie should be totally unacceptable. It should be. It should be a position which no one can occupy in good conscience. And yet somehow it gets the kid glove treatment. I wonder what is going on in people's heads when they just glibly, blithely, just breeze past that. Like it's not a big deal. Oh, you know, she's just a little bit left wing. Don't worry about her. Meanwhile, in her bio, it says they're proud communist. And I've seen this. I've seen this on, you know, like 22-year-olds on social media will have like proud communist there. And you're like, really? This is going to embarrass you one day. That's going to be one of those things that you're going to be embarrassed you put on your bio. So just thought I'd refer to that because Zuko sent the message at 7 o'clock this morning and it was worth referring to. All right, so plenty of things to talk about this morning. First and foremost, Sia says, can we just establish new rules about stuff that you send people on their phones? I hope this is not something – I didn't send you anything, right?
No.
It wasn't me. No. Okay, then explain the situation. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't in the wrong because I send you a whole lot of stuff.
I think we all have this type of person in our lives. Firstly, it's just someone who's very doom and gloom and loves disaster. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now with technology in our phones, it's gone a step further. Someone who, it's not enough to say, oh, a bridge has collapsed in Johannesburg. It's now, here's the video, here's the photo, here's now a corpse lying on the side of the road. Why do you have to send me that? Why do I need to see that?
Yeah.
Why do you think it's normal to just send it? Just at least give me a heads up. Because the reason for all of this is there's now this story that I'm twistedly involved in. It happened in Turkey, and it's a man who went up, climbed a cliff. It's clearly a bit of a tourist attraction with his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
And you can tell it is recorded from another set of tourists who were just there. And in the corner of the video, you see the couple walk away right to the edge of the cliff, and then they just disappear.
Oh, no.
And then following that,
They
send me just like videos of the pregnant wife taken off by a stretcher. I don't want to see that.
That is very disturbing.
That's properly twisted.
I don't know why people...
Do you have people like that who do that?
No. I mean, I'm on some groups with like mates of mine who send... like disturbing crime footage of like, you know, car accidents and that kind of thing. It's not my favorite thing to see. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I get a cold chill when I see pictures. I don't want to watch snuff movies. And that's what they are, really. It used to be a time this was illegal that, you know, if you passed around these kinds of things that I don't think it was illegal, but it's certainly there are a lot of ethical questions around doing this. So I'm on one or two of these guys groups where we'll send each other jokes and all that kind of thing. And like, there's a lot of off color humor there, but I don't love getting the car accidents and stuff. It's very disturbing to see. And sometimes if you don't know, like if you know what you're in for, I agree with you. Like at least give me a warning up front and say, listen, this is very graphic or whatever. So if you're not in the mood, see, it's always worried me that what if somebody's just recently lost a family member or a friend in a similar situation? And then they get this. It can really traumatize them, you know. Mm. And I, as a rule, the worst thing I've ever shared is probably that bomb blast in Lebanon. But you couldn't actually see people mangled in it. I know there were lots of people killed in it. But that was probably the worst thing I've shared for a long time. And I wasn't
too... the buildings.
Yeah, I was even in two minds about that because I thought, you know... there could be someone I know who has family or friends there and, you know, could get them really upset. And so I thought about it, but eventually I decided I heard on the side that this was already on the news. It was like they were broadcasting it on the news. So I thought, it's not like I've got information that nobody else has. So I sent it to a bunch of my groups. But if you do share that kind of thing, I think it's important to just think it through. I don't know what the exact rules are. I prefer not to be the person who does share that stuff. But if you want to send me that stuff, that's cool. Just give me a heads up. It's not something you open up and get absolutely horrified by and traumatized by. I don't want to see a husband pushing his pregnant wife off a cliff, frankly.
I'd far rather receive that annoying, seemingly innocent video that you click on and then it's just like porn style.
Oh, the noises, that's hilarious.
Far rather receive three of those than one of these gory videos. And also, I'm going to say this with my chest, we aren't all freaks like you. Some people they're interested, they're drawn to things like that.
Yeah.
So even if you've been in an accident or you've been hurt or if you've bruised your foot, don't send me photos of that as well. I don't want to see your blood. I don't want to see your tell me that you've had an unfortunate accident. I'll say, okay, well, shame, that's sad, but I don't want to have those photos either.
No, I'm with you, and I don't think we sound prudish. I think that you just you got to have some lines somewhere, right? And I do get that people share stuff, and you know, I love all the people on my phone who send me interesting things. But sometimes I go, oof, I don't want to open that. You can see, like there was even this video that I sent you yesterday of like this dude who's sitting at a bar, and he gets up while the barman is in the back in the kitchen getting something. He gets up on the counter and he like puts bottles of liquor in his backpack, which he's got around the front, and then he like sits down as if nothing's going on. So he was stealing. But when I got the video, I looked at it in this kind of grainy CCTV footage, right? And I immediately thought, oh no, this is going to be like people are going to come in with guns and someone's going to get shot. And
yeah,
I was nervous, but I didn't send it to you before I'd watched it. But then when I saw it, I was like, whew, okay, that's quite funny.
No, that you can.
So I sent it. But you know, when you get a video like that that looks like CCTV footage, I mean, I've seen like horrendous, like a car slamming into a petrol station and exploding and that kind of thing. Yeah, I suppose it's interesting to look at, but some of it's very, very disturbing. Brandon says, I hate those videos that look interesting, and at the end there's just a super loud sex noise. I've been caught in very awkward places watching those. Yeah, those are hilarious. I don't mind that stuff.
I hate that I have to, if and when that happens in public, I then have to explain myself to everyone around me. I end up being like a crazy judgmental grandfather, like, see these people these days sharing things that are inappropriate because you have to explain it to everyone.
Here's an interesting thing, Sia. This is someone's suggestion for you. Do French language lessons on the Duolingo app. You can do 15 minutes a day. I've been Duolingoing since lockdown, and c'est vraiment magnifique. So that's cool. There's a little bit of advice for you if you want to learn a language. Duolingo's app. That's from Jessica. Thanks, Jessica. Cool.
Okay.
And then this, Sia, your comparison is way off. If you were a closet axe murderer, it's obviously not Garrett's fault. If you defrauded Cliff Central, however, Gareth would have to shoulder the blame for not picking up on your embezzlement, as your employer is responsible for a certain extent to those under him. Yeah, that's true. We were talking about Zweli Mkhize, and Sia said it's not fair to blame him because his spokesperson stole money. But, you know, you kind of need to know what's going on in your department. So, yes.
I don't want to nitpick at the story, but it's not as if they are the accountant or the finance person within the Department of Health. Maybe that I'd say, yeah, you want to know which accounts the finance people have access to, and you know what the debit and the credit columns say. Your spokesperson, I don't even think you'd even consider them to do something like that. So I don't know. Okay, we'll just agree to disagree.
Sai has just brought up a video that I actually got as well, and this is very disturbing. He said, I saw a video on Reddit of this couple and their neighbor having a dispute over snow shoveling in Pennsylvania. This dude went into his house, got a 9mm pistol, and shot and wounded both of them. He then went back and got a rifle and killed them. So it was a dispute about snow shoveling. I actually got this video too. Horrible, horrible situation. It just shows you how, you know, don't fight with your neighbors. You never know what they've got. Seriously, I suddenly went, oh my God, it's not worth arguing with anybody these days because you don't know. They could be a total psychopath and go and fetch like a baseball bat with wire around it and like smash you in the head or something. So just be nice. Always err on the side of kind. Right?
Oh, clearly no, the snow shoveling was the straw that broke the camel's back.
While they were arguing, in the video, they're like shouting at each other, and then he walks inside and he comes out with this gun. And like Sai says, it was a real video, and seeing people being shot rattled me.
And then what's the neighbor waiting for at this point? When you see the other person turn around, go into their house, you know shit is getting real at that point.
Yeah, I don't know what you are going to do because this guy was clearly, he had snapped. And he walked out with that gun and he had, you know, his intention was to kill. There's just nothing you can do then. Over snow shoveling. In retrospect, and apparently he killed himself afterwards as well. So the whole thing is just such an ugly situation. Yeah, but it's just so ugly. Carl says, I also watched that video. I couldn't bring myself to watch the whole thing, though. It's screwed up. That is why it's not safe in cold places. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best summary, Carl.
Mm. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Not the conclusion, no.
So the rule is? Like, let people know. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And maybe if it fits into the conversation, I get it. On just a random Thursday afternoon, when we weren't even talking about death or murderers or anything, to share gruesome things, what is wrong with you? That's what I end up wondering.
Well, let's talk about Crystal Jackson. This is interesting.
My favorite.
Crystal Jackson, and we've spoken about OnlyFans a couple of times on the show, but Crystal Jackson is a California mom who started an OnlyFans account. She says her kids were expelled from school because of her OnlyFans.
Mm. They initially started off being bullied, which I don't think is fair.
They were bullied because their mom is on OnlyFans.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the kids who were bullying other kids. Mm. It was then the kids' parents getting involved and going, oh, well, your mother. And to provide further context with this, you know, we all had a tough 2020. I think we can sort of agree with that. Sure. And this lady and her husband were having a bit of a tough time, but she's in her 40s, but she looks well put together. You know, that's a good 40 age gap. Age group, rather. And so she decided, actually, okay, let me put some lingerie on. Let me take some photos. Let me start an OnlyFans account. She started earning around $100,000
Jesus, a month. Well done to her.
From these.
Is she really attractive? Let me just look her up quickly. Crystal Jackson.
She's not the most, you know, she's not... Who was the big porn star? Jenna Jameson. She's not Jenna Jameson.
Yeah. Okay. But well, she's not an unattractive woman. She looks like you know, a kind of suburban mom. Not that all suburban moms look the same, but she's pretty, and she's got she's a nice looking woman. So you say that her kids were bullied.
They were initially bullied,
and then they were expelled from school.
I do have to clarify and say it was a Catholic school.
I suppose that's part of the problem, right? You know, if you're a religious school, then you can put your own rules in. And I suppose it's different if it's a state school. They can't really get rid of you because of what your mom does.
But I get it and I don't get it. You know, I think people are just more jealous than anything. No, we saw Crystal rock up here in her mommy van, but now Crystal is rocking up in a bit of a Ferrari.
You know
or
what
something.
It is? It's you've almost hit the nail on the head here, because it does come down to some sort of jealousy. People want to feel superior to other people. Everybody on earth, don't believe you're above this, because if you've ever posted something that's a little bit boastful, that's coming from the same place. It's this idea that, you know, she's a bad person, therefore I'm a good person. She does porn online, therefore I am better by disapproving of her or shaming her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And it's just the worst. This is the ugly underbelly of humanity. It's like, instead of, like, for whatever reason, this woman probably had financial constraints, and, you know, the family would maybe going through a tough time, and she reckoned the best way. It's not the greatest decision in the world, but who the hell are you? You don't know what her situation is. You're not her. She decided, I can make a lot of money by, I don't know, showing my titties or whatever it is that she did.
Yeah.
And she made, you say, $100,000.
Yep.
Out of doing that, which is good
and
money.
And you know how infuriating it must be as well to then see a new jacuzzi roll up to the house, and then Crystal is doing renovations when things are tough for you.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed.
I would be too. And that's exactly...
But at the same time, I don't want my kids going to school with the child of a porn star.
Yeah, of course, because you're superior, you know. That's how people are. No, but everybody wants to feel better about themselves, so that's what they do. They pull everyone else down. Now, look at this. I have missed this face. I have not seen her for ages and ages, and it's delightful. I mean, Anthea, I'm actually really, really excited to see you. When I said to Sia, we've got to get Anthea on, and he said he'd confirmed you for this week, I was like, yay, it's been such a long time. How the hell are you?
I'm good, thanks, Gareth. Good to be back. God, it's been ages, hey? Yeah, it is great to be back. I've missed you guys as well.
I know. People, there are some of our listeners who obviously they don't trust me, but they thought we'd had a big fight or something. And I tried to explain to them, no, Anthea and I just decided that it wasn't really... I mean, this is so long ago now. It's like a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah.
We just decided it just, you know, it was becoming almost like a chore, and we were bored, and... We needed to change things up. And they didn't believe me. They're like, no, you definitely had a fight with Anthea. I'm like, no, I promise we didn't.
Although I totally understand when people say that, eh? I'm firmly marching towards my 50th birthday next month. And the closer I get, the less patience I have for people.
Are you becoming...
So I should come with a warning label.
Yeah. Are you becoming grumpy?
I am becoming that grumpy old woman and excited about it.
Oh, no. No, Anthea.
But, yeah, no, I can definitely confirm you and I have not had a fight.
No.
In fact, I've missed you terribly. Like, it's shocking.
No,
you don't send me flowers. You don't send me chocolates. You don't write. You don't get me on your show. I mean, what's going on now?
And I can promise you, not a month goes by that we don't get emails from people saying, you've got to get Anthea. We've got to hear what she thinks of this. We've got to get her insights on that. And... You know, what is she
I have an
of?
Idea.
Yes?
He's your producer. Shall we just blame Sia for not getting me on?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's just pass the blame right over to him. I like that.
Excuse me.
All right, so because you're on, I've just got to do one quick thing, because otherwise it wouldn't be right, you know? So just give me a second here. Someone's just reminded me.
Oh.
Yeah, we got to play something before you start this morning. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. So let's do
this. The good old times.
Exactly. We're going to do the original this morning, the first version, the real one. All right. Here it is. Anthea Gardner, everybody. And she works hard for the money.
Are you recording this?
Yes.
We're all dancing.
Of course we are. Love it. And it's actually such a damn good song, you know that? I know we used it as a joke and we used to play it every time you came on, but honestly, that's a good song.
Hang on a second. What do you mean you played it as a joke? I thought that like was a real. I thought that really was my theme song.
Do you remember you had like a version that you sang, and there were versions, the terrible versions.
Okay.
People used to send us their own versions of it. Okay, so here are first.
Yeah, those days I miss. Hey? People sending in their own versions. Wow, wouldn't it be nice to start that? Get one or two of those going again.
So before,
I mean, and then I worked hard for my money, but geez, I'm working hard for my money now. Hey?
Well,
lockdown has been something else.
We didn't just get you on to talk about, you know, the money. We'll get to that in a second. But here's a really nice compliment. Simone says, thank you for playing Anthea's song. Kerry says, I love seeing Anthea. And then someone had a compliment here. My word, says Beth, could I look that good when I'm approaching 50? So people full of compliments.
Thank you. Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah. All right. So, Anthea, what have you been up to, and how's business, and what's going on?
So business is very good. Last year was exceptional. We ended the year fantastically well, but in the green, in my kind of language.
Yeah. See.
But boy, it was a busy. I think what happened during COVID was everybody had a chance to look at their finances and go, oh, God, I need some help. What am I doing here? Where are we going? Mm. And then there was a lot of balancing of portfolios, you know, like there was a big shift from the equity market into the fixed income market, from local shares to offshore shares, and that, geez, that keeps the gold busy.
Yeah.
So lots really, and some weird things. You had Henry on 2 weeks ago talking about game stuff, you know, and
yes.
So that kind of nonsense, and Elon Musk and his Bitcoin comments, and Tesla running. Like, it's Tesla now at 1,150 PE ratio. Remember those days when I spoke about PE ratio?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy, right? And so we don't, so that kind of thing really keeps us awake at night because it doesn't make fundamental sense.
Mm.
So we really lots of conversations going on in the team about whether we're doing this right or not, and have we got this right, and should we stick to our mandate? You know, kind of with fundamental, very pragmatic. And although I see now the market's kind of pulling back, and I think we're going back to that stage. So that's kept me busy. I struggled during lockdown to exercise. My big goal for my 50th birthday was to do Ironman New Zealand. It was the same week as my birthday in March.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't happened, basically. I just unfit and fat.
Yeah, well, lockdown put some of the best plans to rest. I mean, there was just no way we could have got out of that. Go on.
Although I was going to say, I absolutely love working from home, which is a bit weird. I discovered that I'm probably more of a hermit than I thought I was, or a loner than I thought I was.
Yeah, same here. That's not going to change. I don't want to go back to the office 5 days a week. It's not something I'm excited to do again. So if anything, that's been a major win. So let's talk a little bit about the money, because you used to tell us every week what was going on in the JSE, what kinds of asset classes people were most interested in. We even had portfolios that we had you manage for our listeners. And I've got to tell you, like, I looked at my hashtag invest, which is now under your Cartesian management at Easy Equities, and it's grown beautifully. I mean, I didn't even know. I wasn't paying very careful attention. And then when I looked at it, I was like, my God, this is looking fantastic. So things have not been too bad, despite COVID, on the JSE.
Indeed, and it depends on when you looked at it, actually, because if you had looked at it last year in April, you would have, and it depends on which portfolio you were in, remember?
Yeah.
We had four different portfolios. Some of them were very conservative, and then some of them were in the middle, and there was a bit of bonds in it, and then there was a pure equity portfolio. And if you had looked at just your share or your risky equity portfolio, you probably would have had a heart attack in April last year, because it just plummeted. We were predicting, so every kind of quarter we write a little strategy session and we talk about what we think is going to happen and which asset classes are going to be the winners for the year,
sure.
As if we have crystal balls. But and at the end of last year, we were kind of thinking that this year the JSE would, even though things economically are just like the worst we've ever seen, right? The highest unemployment we've ever seen, the highest debt, the debt trajectory is out of hand. It just is stupid. But we thought that the JSE would at least follow international markets, which we think are going to rally share markets, which we think are really going to have a go this year because all the stimulus that the U.S. is throwing at it. So we thought, okay, let's see, what's a fair number for the JSE to follow on global markets? And 7% is where we kind of put our pin in the, or our peg in the sand.
Yeah.
And the bloody market's up 13% already. So
awesome.
I was just like, and now what do I do? Do I stay in equities? Do I take profits? And that's the kind of thing that we're dealing with every day. And then, like, so many clients sent money offshore last year. That's the other thing we did. I started an offshore fund,
mm-hmm.
or three funds, actually, you know, from risky, stable to conservative. And so we've just had people throwing money offshore, which is absolutely, I understand. I just don't know. I get that the JSE is up 13% this year already.
Right.
So we're not even done in February, right?
Yeah.
But, we, you know, kind of how much further can it go? So I know why people are sending money to offshore markets. So if you send money offshore and you leave it in cash, you get zero. That's no-brainer. But you definitely want exposure to kind of the Amazons that are just roaring, the Tesla that's out of hand, the GameStop I don't want to talk about.
No.
You know, the tech, the nice solid tech companies that have just gone crazy. I mean, I think they'll kind of level out now. So fixed income was a big thing last year, and the rand. Can you believe that the rand is this strong?
Yeah.
When you, I don't know if you listened to Tito Mboweni speak on Wednesday, but how bizarre! I mean, it's
so
just mind-blowing.
There's quite a lot to unpack there, and I'm no economist, but as I understand it, part of the reason that Tito didn't have to increase taxes substantially across the board, as people were predicting in some quarters that he might do, is because commodity prices have gone up quite nicely, and that has saved us, because we're still a largely resource-based economy. It seems that South Africa managed to slip through the gates because we could charge more for our minerals and that kind of thing. And as a result, we didn't have to bring in a wealth tax or push up personal income tax or company tax. That came down 1%. Do you think that's fair?
I understand that argument completely, but it's kind of only half right because, so yes, the mining companies are now reporting, and if you're holding commodity shares or any mining company, which we have in our portfolio, then it's dividends for you and you and you and everyone gets dividends, right? But if you're holding retailers or alcohol distribution companies, then it's a very different, or even tobacco companies, then it's a very different story. It's not, so it's not a blanket statement. But what happened at the end of this year, and this is the part of your statement that is absolutely 100% correct, is that we got in cash which we weren't expecting. Now, even though the revenue was a lot less than the year before, the expectation, the forecast, is what we beat. We did better than what we were forecasting. So let's just get that right, you know, that's kind of the excitement about it. And so, of course, the commodity and mining companies are happy to pay their tax, their fair share of taxes. And then Tito is saying that he's going to use that tax, that extra revenue that he collected from these mining companies, or even like Grindrod Shipping reported yesterday, and the ports are doing well, the shipping companies are doing well, rates are out of control, and of course we're exporting commodities, so yes, you know, price to pay. And so we benefited from that side of the equation. But if we're going to talk about the budget, there's one thing that worries me about it, and this is the half of the argument that really gets me, is that, so it's all great that we got better than expected revenues, probably thanks to the commodity boom,
mm-hmm.
but what Tito and his team then did is, what I remember I used to call it mathematics, is then they then took that and extrapolated it out for 5 years. So he's now saying, well, actually, you know, by 2025, 2026, we're going to stabilize our debt number at 88.9%, which is like crazy. But it's much better than the 95 we had forecast previously. So it looks like things are looking good. Oh, they're on the right, you know, they're kind of reining in expenditure and this interest payment or this debt. And Tito said all the right things. You know, he He spoke so much about zero-based budgeting. He spoke about, we know that we owe all these people so much money and we need to pay them back. And that's why he's going to use some of that cash to kind of get this debt or interest payments under control and not borrow so much and that sort of thing, which is very clever and I think right. He spoke about raising productivity, lowering barriers to entry.
Yeah.
He really spoke about SOEs. I was delighted about that. Let's not throw more good money after bad.
Yeah.
But if this commodity boom doesn't last for another 5 years, then his predictions are wrong.
Yeah, so
because he's basing his predictions on this once-off great commodity boom and this great tax base that he got from the mining companies. So that's my take on the budget, really. I mean, Tito who? Because I think the real hero, as you said, is Edward Kiesewetter, right? He's our SARS governor. He's the hero.
Yeah, I wonder how many people were concerned that they were going to take taxes up, because I think we've reached a bit of a ceiling in terms of how much people are willing to pay. And, you know, we do have quite high tax rates in this country. And then we've got, of course, all the other costs on top of that, these stealth taxes, things like ESCOM's rates and, you know, the toll fees we're meant to pay on the roads and all these other things that add up, municipal rates and taxes, which are crazy and out of control. So I think a lot of people are looking at their budgets at the moment, probably not a lot of increases for people across the board, and they're trying to make their money work better. And one of the ways that your money definitely doesn't work in South Africa is if it goes to the politicians, because very seldom do they spend it on the things that they're supposed to spend it on. Normally it just gets pocketed in really bad tender arrangements. And we've seen that even in the PPE scandals. What I wanted to ask you, though, is are there any standouts? We haven't spoken to you in such a long time. When you look at the portfolios that you've managed, especially with a long window of time that's elapsed since we last had you on, which companies are really killing it and which South African companies are doing great work despite all of the predations of last year?
The mining companies. So, and if you do own any of them, hold on to it, because I think they've still got a way to go. When last have you spoken to Neil Froneman? He's a mate of the show, right?
Yeah, actually. I actually got an email. I got an email from him yesterday.
Yeah. Have you seen the rally in that share? Have you seen how well he's done? Yeah, Sibanye, sorry. What used to be Sibanye Gold is now Sibanye Stillwater, right?
That's right.
Sibanye Platinum or whatever they call it these days. If you remember, let's talk 3 or 4 years ago, he went offshore and he got out of gold and into platinum. And you and I spoke about it and we said, this man is either going to be a hero, because this is just scary stuff what he's doing. When commodities weren't going anywhere, the cycle was really against him. He was borrowing money, going offshore, buying companies that were outside of his expertise, from gold into platinum, or he was going to be a zero and it was all going to fall apart. Well, can I just confirm today that Neil Froneman is a hero?
Absolutely.
The platinum price is the highest it's ever been. And so the question, of course, and so I think those are the standout ones for sure. The commodities caught us off guard, but thank goodness we had some. In fact, we had a decent amount. We always have. South Africa, you kind of are forced to have commodity companies. You can't risk not having them. And so the question again is this going to last? My opinion is that if you have commodity companies or mining companies in your portfolio, then yes, hang on to them.
Okay.
Yesterday, Implats reported, and Nico Mayer, the CEO, and he was saying that he thinks there's going to be a PGM deficit in the metals for the next 5 to 8 years, he said, which seemed a bit cheeky, I thought, which means that the commodity prices are going to continue being high and strong, which means these mining companies are going to keep making cash. He's sitting on 18.6 billion rand of cash, you know?
Sure.
Oh, by the way, that's after he's paid out 1.3 billion rand in dividends.
Wow.
And, you know, like just some change on that he found in the couch and between the cushions. But he was very smart in saying that, and historically, commodities companies have a kind of a bad reputation for when times are good, spending so much money on expansions and buying things up. And Neil Froneman, of course, did the other way around. You know, when things times were bad, he went and spent money. But Nico Mayer, the CEO of Impala Platinum, yesterday was saying, you know what, guys, actually, even though I think commodity prices are going to stay high for the next 5 to 8 years, and that's a big prediction to make.
Yeah, it's a long way into the future.
Because commodities are prices are so high, I'm not sure there's anywhere to spend my money. Like if I bought a company, it would just be too expensive, basically. So I'm just going to sell my 18.6 billion rand of cash. But no, but what I was trying to say was that he's lowering his capex or capital expenditure. So he's not going to go out and expand like historically these mining companies would. So that's the one sector that has surprised. And finally, the tech sector. I mean, God, we've been talking about the tech sector since 1999 through to 2001 when the bubble hit, and which ones were going to make it and which ones weren't going to make it. And why are they not making it? And why are these shares not rallying the way we thought it should in 1998 already? So finally, they came into their own. And sure, I think valuations are a bit stretched at the moment, sure, you know, and especially on some of the companies. And it's another 2001 situation. Some of them will continue to do good and carry on and survive, and others will blow themselves up. So you just, I do still like the tech sector, and I like it more now than I did in 1998. So that industry or that sector is coming to its own, and I'm very excited about that.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time because, I mean, everybody has questions for you, but we're not going to be able to get to those. You've got to get to George Meany. But, Anthea, it's always good to see you, and I hope we'll see you some more in this year of 2020.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, so great
to
have
you. Good to be back, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers, man.
Awesome. There's Anthea Gardner, everybody. I know you've been excited to have her back, so are we. And we'll talk to her again soon. Soonest.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny when you haven't seen someone in a long time and you used to see each other almost every day.
Yeah, I think we last spoke to her. We were already under lockdown, yeah, because we were doing the show virtually.
Mm.
But my, the world has changed since then.
Yeah. Robin says, Dr. Robin, she says, I've just opened an Easy Equities account and started playing around. I'd love to hear Anthea weekly again. They didn't teach us much about economics at med school. Ain't that the truth? All right, so while we wait for George, who's going to join us in just a second, we've got to get our weekly update with him. There are a few things that I didn't get to this morning, which we'll have to push over to Monday. Some emails, some really cool emails, some very interesting emails that I got here from Berto. There's one from Celeste. So I want to get to those on Monday, and we'll hopefully catch up on all the other stuff that we didn't get around to this morning. I got one or two funny things.
Put it on the agenda.
Definitely. All right, George, how are you doing, man? Is he there? George, can you hear us?
Gareth?
Ah, there we are. How's it, George? Where are you?
I'm inside a very special VW Golf.
What makes it special?
E-Golf.
It's an e-Golf?
It is a retrofitted, an e-Golf, yeah, retrofitted VW Golf 7.5.
Wow.
VW brought six of these into the country to test the appetite of consumers for electric cars. So this car hasn't been built from the ground up. It's actually a retrofitted Golf. So when you get into this car, you actually... It feels like a normal Golf. It's actually beautiful. I mean, I've done some blue lighting and the dashboard is entirely electronic. But when you get into this car, you don't feel like you're driving a futuristic electric car.
Can you give us a little look around with your phone? Just kind of swing that camera around and let us see the dashboard and everything. Okay.
Very cool.
It looks like a much more evolved and updated version of a Golf, but otherwise it's pretty standard. And you're telling me this thing's electric?
Yeah. It's electric. You can see it's even got a gear usual for an electric car.
Yeah.
You know, the back of the car is pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got these very cool lights on the front and on the side.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That I suppose it just
We're kind of losing you a little bit, George. Sorry. Maybe we should...
Nonetheless, you get into this crisis that it's an electric car.
Now that you've given us a look around the car, turn off the video and then we can talk to you properly because it's taking up a lot of bandwidth. So I don't want to have interrupted conversation. Okay, can you hear us now?
Yep, I can hear you perfectly.
All right, so let's take a look at some of the other stories that have got your attention this week and some of the things you want to get into. What's happening?
Well, the toll road issue that we have in South Africa, so we thought we would kind of dig to see where the most expensive toll road is in the world.
Yes.
It turns out that the Pennsylvania Turnpike in Pennsylvania, obviously, is the most expensive toll road in the world. It would cost you 1,678 Rand for a standard vehicle to drive from end to end of the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
I think it's the Turnpike. They call it Turnpike. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Turnpike.
So,
1,678 Rand.
So do people cross through that every day? Because you can imagine if you worked in Pennsylvania and you had to drive into like New York State, if you had to go through the Pennsylvania Turnpike every day, that's going to cost you an absolute fortune.
Yeah. I mean, if you go end to end, 1,600 Rand. So, that's
so George,
if you have to do that 5 days a week.
Are you saying we shouldn't complain about e-tolls?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just making a comparison.
All right, fine. Okay.
Making a comparison. Yeah. And then, that's the most expensive road. But but on average, Switzerland still remains the most expensive country for tolls at an average of about 394 Rand per charge.
Sure.
And the US coming in at an average of about 79 Rand for the average consumer. So toll roads aren't expensive by and large overseas, and I think that's why I say e-tolls are something that needs to be sorted out because it's not expensive around the world to drive on roads.
Well, I think maybe that the reason that Switzerland is so expensive, and I'm just throwing this out here, I might have no basis in evidence for this, but just using a bit of logic, they have to build some pretty incredible mountain passes and they have to keep those roads de-iced in winter. And there's probably a lot of maintenance on them because, you've got altitude and you've got very complex gradients that you're working at, and safety is a bigger issue there than anywhere else. Maybe that's why they have to charge so much in Switzerland.
I think you're right, because it turns out that in Austria, there's a road called the High Alpine Road, which on average is a cost of 675 Rand for toll, which then kind of supports your argument that it's these mountainous areas with lots of ice and snow.
Okay, that makes sense then. I mean, listen, if you've ever driven in Switzerland, and what is it, 2 years ago, when I was last there, I wasn't driving. A friend of mine was driving the car. Some of those roads are hairy, man.
Yeah, I've never been there, but I've always fantasized about those Swiss Alps and those roads. But I'll tell you the story about the toll roads because in the budget speech of 2021, it turns out that fuel levies, the tax on
that's
fuel,
right, that's gone up,
is going up by 27 cents, which means that it's going up from 3.77 Rand. So the out of the approximately 15.67 Rand that we pay, 3.77 Rand went to tax. It's going to be now 3.92 Rand.
Sure. Okay, so it sounds small, but when you fill up your tank, that's going to hit quite hard, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost 4 Rand. So, if you take an average 50-liter tank, you're gonna be paying, a good 25% of that is going to tax, and then this is going up by 60 cents, which means that that fee is gonna hit you in your pocket quite hard.
Thank God you're here to do the numbers, George, because you know how terrible we are at that. And by the way, it's true that. A lot of this money that they're putting in this increased fuel levy for is because they need to help pay for the road accident fund, which is bankrupt, right?
Yeah, so that's exactly right, Gareth. That's the road accident fund receives 2.07 Rand historically, and that's going up to 2.18 Rand within that fuel levy.
Yeah, and the road accident fund is just an absolute mess at the moment. I mean, anyone who knows that system will tell you it's a total disaster. So I hope they manage to sort that out at some point.
Yeah, I think they should. And then, you know, the ride-hailing app or the ride-hailing company called Lyft?
Yes, L-Y-F-T, isn't it?
L-Y-F-T. They've decided to go a little bit backward. And they're introducing a telephone service to try and capture the older generation who battle to use apps and their phone.
Yeah.
They're going to introduce an agent service where you can phone in to get your ride. So you phone in, you pay with a credit card over the phone, and you tell the agent where the car must arrive and where it's taking you to.
We laugh now, but there's a customer base for this.
The older customer. I mean, my grandmother is almost 90, and she uses that phone better than a lot of people. But I've seen some old people really battle, especially when you know, they can't see the things on the screen.
Yeah, I think it's great that they've tried to accommodate these older people who don't use apps and they don't know how to use messaging and all that kind of thing. So you actually have to phone. And, you know, in some ways, it might end up being useful to people who aren't just old people who don't know how to use that stuff. Because sometimes when you're in a pinch and you don't have your app or your phone battery has died or whatever and you desperately need a lift, it's sometimes easy to borrow someone else's phone a number, book a cab, and then you're sorted.
Exactly. And then very lastly, Gareth, do you know how cars have been destroyed in the Fast and the Furious movies?
They ruin a 100 cars in a movie, I'm sure.
Well, you're almost right. Furious, their initial movie, they ruined 78 cars. Too Fast, Too Furious, they ruined 150 cars. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, they ruined 249 cars. I'm not going to carry on going through the list, but in total, they've wrecked 1,487 cars.
Wow.
In how many movies in total?
Seems to be about six, and I think there's the seventh one. No, there's seven, and the eighth one is coming now, and I think it's called Fast and Furious, The Fate of Fast and Furious. That's what it's going to... I don't know what the name is, but anyway, it's Fast and Furious 9, I think.
Sucks.
I watched the modern version with Charlize Theron in it of The Italian Job the other day. It came up on yes. One of these channels or whatever, and you know, you can just watch a movie and then, you know, it's on your time. You don't have to wait for it to be on again. And it was such a good movie. There were some car chases in that movie that were absolutely incredible. And they had these Minis. And I remember Mini was still like new on the market at the time that came out. And it was such a brilliant thing to have Mini do product placement in terms of the cars that were used by the heist. It was so clever.
I loved that Italian Job.
Such
very,
a good
very
movie.
Clever.
All right, well,
but,
George.
But, Gareth, I wanted to point out something, and in that last bit, I bet you that you didn't know that I was actually driving.
Hang on. I didn't know that you were already driving. You were moving in the car while we were talking to you.
Yeah, I was moving in the car, yeah. So I was standing in my driveway initially when we were talking, and then when we got to the Tokyo Drift bit, I decided to pull out of the driveway and begin driving just to prove how quiet this car is.
It's amazing. I didn't hear it.
Crazy.
I honestly couldn't hear a thing. That's awesome. Well, George, you look very, very smart in your what color jacket is that? Like red and white, pinkish colored jacket. Very good.
Yeah, and it's like a very light red.
Salmon extravaganza.
Very good. All right, George.
It's a Sia jacket.
It is.
Yes.
It's a statement jacket. Well, George, always good to check in with you. Thank you for making it exciting, as you have done for a number of weeks on the show, where now you're broadcasting from an electric car, and we didn't even know. I couldn't even hear
to a hangar.
Yeah, I know.
Next week, he'll be on a yacht somewhere. Any mode of transportation.
Right. Anybody got a yacht for me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I have a dumpster, little.
That's not going to work.
I can offer you that.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much, George. Good to see you. Happy Friday. Have a good weekend, and we will see you on Monday between 6 and 8 o'clock. Be good. CliffCentral.com.